Isn't it good to be here? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just excited. You know, I know the weather was fantastic out there today. Plenty of sun. Glory to God yesterday as well. You know, we're just so blessed after the winter we had. But I'll tell you what, it's good to be inside here. Amen. You know, I had a conversation outside with a gentleman. I was standing outside. We had a conversation for over an hour, you know, and I was standing there. I was looking at him, and the sun was over here. And you can probably tell by my face. This side of my face is red. This side of my face is white, right? And so I have like a face-off kind of thing going on here. Glory to God. But you know what? It's just good to have some sunshine. Yeah, amen. And I left the makeup alone. I didn't even use the makeup, so. Glory to God. You ready for the word of God here tonight? Amen. Go over there to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue where we left off on Sunday morning. Amen. And we saw on Sunday morning that we looked at five facts of faith there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we talked about making your hopes a reality. Amen. And we got a hold of that, and we're going to continue ministering on faith here tonight. We're back over there in Hebrews chapter 11. There's just some things here that are on my heart to minister. How many of you received the point yesterday? And I'm going to be ministering along those lines. I even was taking a look at some things that I was writing there, and I'm just excited to minister them. Amen. Minister some of those things, not exclusively those things, but praise the Lord. I tell you what, we need to hear the message on faith over and over and over, because faith is what pleases God. Faith is what receives from God. Sunday we said this, that faith is what reaches into the unseen realm and makes those things that are waiting for you, the unseen things, makes them seen. Amen. That God's waiting for people to draw this realm closer to that one and that one closer to this one, right? Faith can bring heaven and earth together. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, faith is what overcomes the world. Amen. And we reach in there, you know, and we get into the realm of God and move those things that He has for us in our direction. But notice, we have a part to play in that. We're not just sitting here randomly waiting for God to do something for us. Listen, that's what hope is. That's just what hope is. Now, we saw this, and of course, we're going to read it again in Hebrews 11, 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. All right? Now, notice, you know, hope is the foundation for faith. You got to have hope, right? But you can't only have hope. You know, we talked about this on Sunday, that a lot of believers, they get into the hope trap. And what they don't realize is that they get hopes, and hope is what comes from hearing the Word of God. It's good to have hope. But it can't stay there. It can't just stay there. Hope is just the idea that something can change. Faith is believing that it will change. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of people, they have hope in God. They believe God can. Well, that's hope. They need to move on and go to faith that says God will. God will. Amen. Praise the Lord. And a lot of people are caught in the hope trap. They're sitting there and they're hoping and they're hoping and they're hoping. And after a while, if their hopes don't move into faith, that hope will die. And when hope dies, it becomes bitterness. And a lot of people, they don't realize that they've just been hoping for something. They've been hoping God does something. When God is not pleased with hope, He's pleased with faith. Amen. And there is a difference between hope and faith. And like I said, hope says God can. Well, faith says God will. Listen, you need to know what God said He will do.
That's right.
Not just what you hope He can do.
Amen.
You know? I'll tell you what, it doesn't take much faith to believe that God can do something. But you have to know Him at His word that He will do something. What are you fully persuaded that He will do? And that's what faith is. It is a full persuasion that God will do what He said He will do. You are so fully convinced that there's no more concern or worry about it anymore. It's in God's hands, and therefore, you know, you take your hands off it. You don't turn it over in your mind anymore and worry about it. There's something about faith that when you are fully convinced that God's going to handle that situation, you enter into what the Bible calls the rest of faith. You enter into faith's rest.
Yes.
Amen. And maybe we'll minister over there, you know. You know, we're in the book of Hebrews. We could go back to chapter 3 and 4 and talk about the Hebrew people and how they failed to appropriate the promises of God because they did not enter into his rest. See, the Bible says that on the seventh day that God rested from his labors. Now, does that mean that God got so fatigued and tired he needed a day off? No, our God, the Bible does tell us that he never grows weary of strength. God doesn't run out of strength. He doesn't get fatigued like the human body. He's not a human being. The Bible says that God is a spirit, right? And, of course, he's never void of strength. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired. He rested on the seventh day because everything he did in faith. And faith always requires a rest. Even God himself rested from his labors on the seventh day. Why? Because faith always rests. But if you're panicked, if you're worried, if you're overly concerned and you're consumed with, you know, something, then you haven't entered into faith's rest. If you're worried about something, then you know you have not turned your hopes into faith. Come on now. Praise the Lord. So let's go over here. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's not just stay at hope. Let's move on to faith. Because faith is what brings those hopes into substance. Substance is what God wants you to have. He doesn't want, you know, your needs just to remain an abstract idea. He wants your hopes to manifest. He wants his promises to manifest and become tangible in this life. Faith is what moves those unseen intangibles of the unseen realm and makes them tangible in this realm. And remember our five facts over there. From Sunday, the five facts that we learned in faith, that first of all, fact number one, that faith is a substance of things hoped for. Two, it's the evidence of things not seen. Three, by it we obtain a good report, right? And four, God made everything by his words of faith, okay? Amen. And we talked about that. Everything that was made by God's word of faith. And then our fifth fact is kind of along those lines, that everything that you see materialized from a realm that you don't see. And that's why scientists are baffled about the origin of our universe, because they are trying to make the jump from the unseen realm to the seen realm. And God said there's only one way that something can materialize from that realm into this realm, and that's by faith. By faith. Listen, I'll tell you what. You know, everything you need is in that realm. And we talked about Sunday morning how Abel, he believed that that realm was his provider. And that's why he gave in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to preach Sunday's message over again, though I could just about do that. Amen. Tonight, let's talk about putting God on trial. Putting God on trial. Do you know that every day of your life, you know, your reactions and your actions are a testimony to what you believe God is and who he is and what he does, okay? And every day of your life, you are taking the witness stand and you are giving a testimony to what you believe God is. You know, whether by your words or by your actions, you are standing there in the court of opinion declaring what you think God is, who you believe he is, and what he said. Every one of your reactions show you is a testimony to who you say God is in your life. Oh, amen. And so why don't we go ahead and read the first few verses here, and then we're going to drop down there and look at a couple of individuals. First, we're going to look at Noah, and then we're going to look at Sarah, Abraham's wife. We may do that in reverse order. I'm not so sure which one I want to preach on first here, because They're both good. Amen. So let's start in verse 1. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. That was our first fact. The evidence of things not seen, our second fact. The evidence of things not seen. Listen, just because you don't see it doesn't mean you don't have it. You have a lot of things you don't see. And that's what faith is when you go over the edge and say, you know what, I have it, though I can't see it. That's what faith is. Faith isn't for what you see. I don't need faith to possess this pulpit. It's already here. It's in the seen realm. You know, it doesn't. That's not faith. That's just a natural fact or whatever you want to call it, right? But faith is for those things that you don't see. Faith is for that need that hasn't manifested yet.
Right.
Amen. Faith is what reaches into that unseen realm with your, remember we talked about the measuring cup? You reach on in there and you take out a big scoop of God's realm and you bring it into this realm. Hallelujah. I love that because that is what empowers. That's the difference between believers and unbelievers. See, they're living only by the realm that they can see. Imagine having no eyes of faith. Imagine that the only thing you can partake of in this life is what you see. Imagine living by the news. Yeah, I mean, seriously. No wonder why people are depressed. Because they think that what they see is all there is. Listen, if you live by this seen realm and only by this seen realm, you are going to have one miserable existence. But I tell you what, when you put on the eyes of faith and start looking into what, amen. Because God's saying if you can hope it, you can have it. That what hope begins, faith can finish.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And see, hope is what goes beyond what you don't see. See, the reason why people have no hope is because they only believe what they see. But hope is believing that what you see can change.
Yes.
And then faith says it will change.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You know, so I love, I mean, there's several things I'm believing for. I have it. Though it hasn't manifested in this realm yet. You know, I was saying some things today that haven't manifested, but as far as I'm concerned, I have it because the evidence of me having it is simply my faith.
That's right.
If I can have faith for it, God wants me to go further and just say, I got it, God. I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm not going to mope around or doubt or worry about it anymore. I got it now. You say, well, where's your evidence? I got it right here. I believe.
That's it.
All, my job is to say, I believe I receive.
That's it.
I believe I receive. Therefore, I have it. Oh, but no. You see, no, that's kind of, you know, that's not right. That's a trick. That's like saying you have something you don't have. It sounds a lot like calling those things that be not as though they are.
Yes.
Amen. Romans chapter 4, right around the 17th, 18th verse, it tells us that God who raises the dead...
Yes.
And God who calls those things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I always use the example of this building being paid off. I say 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, don't you, you have to see the mortgage. Well, yeah, that mortgage is taking the witness stand, you know. And that mortgage is trying to take the witness stand and trying to convince me, you know. It's like a fierce prosecutor, you know, trying to levy a judgment against me. Oh, no, you can't believe that. Don't you see the money that's owed? Don't you see this? Don't you see this? Well, I got evidence that trumps your evidence.
That's good.
My faith is the evidence that trumps every bit of your circumstantial evidence.
That's right.
Because I have it by faith. And the circumstances can't steal it away. Come on, glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, trying to move on here. I'm just kind of still in review mode, but I'm just excited. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, fact one. Fact two, the evidence of things not seen. Glory to God. I can have evidence for something that's not even there. Just like salvation works that way. You have no evidence of heaven. Meaning you don't have any physical evidence, you know, of salvation, so to speak. Of course, your changed life and, you know, your new nature and the way you live is a testimony to that power that's in you. But, I mean, you don't have any physical evidence, you know what I mean? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But how do you know you got it? Because you believe it. Because faith is your evidence. And it trumps the circumstantial evidence. Right? I mean, because honestly, do you feel saved at every given moment of life? Do you always feel saved? Do you always feel healed? You know, do you always feel those things? No, but you still got the evidence. Why? Because you say, I believe.
Amen.
Amen. When you mess up, when you make a mistake, does that mean you lose your salvation? No. You know, you confess and you repent of your sin or whatever, but you still believe that you have it. Amen. Even when a mistake is taking that stand against you to try to bring evidence against you, say, no. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said in 1 John 1:9 that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Your word is your evidence. You take that into the court and you say, this evidence trumps whatever the circumstances try to bring against you. The symptoms in your body are going to take that stand and say, no, you are sick and you are going, you know, you're not going to be healthy. You're not going to live long. You're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. And it's going to try to bring evidence. There's pain in your body. There's symptoms in your body. Therefore, this is the way it's going to be. And that's circumstantial evidence. That thing is taking the stand to try to produce evidence against you. And then you take the stand and you provide evidence that's bigger and better than that. You produce evidence that says, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. These are all scriptures, by the way. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Right? By his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:4, right? Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases. Psalm 103, 2 and 3, right? Amen. Amen. So it's the evidence of things not seen. I produce evidence. I'm here. When I take the stand, I'm going to produce evidence. Because that side, the devil and his side in this natural realm are going to try to produce evidence of why it's got to be the other way. Yeah. Isn't that what a trial does? Do you notice all of this kind of legal terminology? As we read down through Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to see the word evidence. You're going to see the word testimony. You're going to see the word witness. You're going to see the word judge. These are all legal terms. That's why I'm saying that every day of our life, we are putting God on trial, so to speak. And you are taking the witness stand, giving a testimony either for his word or against his word. When you take the witness stand and you start worrying and panicking, you're trying to produce evidence against God. You know? Oh, my goodness. You know, it's amazing to me how there's people out there that believe that God put those bad circumstances in their life, the very circumstances they're looking to be free from. God is not against you. Don't give a testimony against your Father God and make some kind of case that he's an absentee father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are never abandoned. You are never without help. But when you take the stand of your life, you know what I mean? You know, when you just live your life and your reactions are fear and worry and doubt and all these things, you're basically, you're giving a testimony against God. Yeah, and you're basically telling him that he's an absentee father and that he hasn't cared for you or that he's going to abandon you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, right? Hebrews 13, 5, verse 6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. You can say it this way. I will not fear what this realm tries to produce. No matter what evidence they try to gather against me, they will never, ever, ever gather evidence that can trump the word of God. Hallelujah. Because the devil all the time is going to try to produce evidence. You can't have it. You can't be healed. You can't be blessed. You can't, have your needs met. You can't pay that off. You can't be, you know, all these things. You can't. Yes, I can. Glory to God. I can have it. And it's not just I can have it. I will have it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise his name. And then verse 2, I'm really trying to preach my message here. But we're getting down through here and we're seeing these terms that have a lot of significance pertain to the legal system. You know, they're kind of references to the legal side of things because every day we're in court. Every day there's a court, you know, and that court is usually our opinion. The court of our opinion. And we need to make sure that our opinion is always in favor of of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 2, for by it, elders obtained a good testimony. That's our third fact, right? It's the only way that you can please God. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds or everything in the universe was framed or built by the spoken word of God. The Greek word there is rhema, or the spoken word of God. Everything that was made by God's words of faith.
Yeah. Amen.
That's our fourth fact. And then our fifth fact is this last statement. So that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. Listen, your needs don't come from this realm. Your needs, that a lot of Christians, they get in trouble when they start to see their employer as their provider. Now, that's a channel that God uses. Now, and we should be very grateful for our jobs and our paychecks, our employer, and we should pray for them and so on. But don't ever look to them as your provider. Oh, I see believers all the time get panicked. Oh, there's layoffs coming, or I lost my job, and what am I going to do? Well, I tell you what, you wouldn't be so panicked if you never leaned on that thing in the first place. If God's your provider, and the paycheck is just a channel, all right, you won't be running to and fro telling everybody about your problem. How you respond, see, you took, if you respond in worry and panic, you take the stance, you take the testimony stand, and you basically say, God's not my provider, because you worried about natural circumstances. But faith says, well, you know what? Jobs come and go, but my God never comes and goes. He's always there. He's always providing for me. That's okay. That paycheck was never my provider in the first place. God's my provider, and he can bring me a better one. Listen, there's going to be a lot of times in life where something you're looking at or something you're believing for or something that looks good, there's times when it just falls through. There's just times when the world gets in the way or, maybe someone else or whatever. And sometimes, things that, you long for or whatever, it just falls through. Listen, don't get disappointed, because disappointment is the opposite of faith. And if you allow disappointment to run its course, it becomes depression. That is what depression is. It is unchecked disappointment. But I tell you, when something good falls through, you say, bless God, he must have something better. Bless God, he's got something better, because James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And if that good thing didn't fall through, well, there must be a perfect one on the way.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So many times people, oh my goodness, it didn't happen. We were so looking forward to that. Or we thought we had this job and it was such a pay raise. And oh man, we're so disappointed. No! Faith is never disappointed.
That's right. Amen.
Faith doesn't look at the circumstances and say, well, that was the best that there could have been. No, there's a better one.
Yeah, better.
Do you know how many times in ministry, whether it was in, as we as a church family, plant these churches, or when it was the building of this building, and all the times when all the natural circumstances, just would come up, or how many times, whether it was legal things or the municipalities or whatever saying, you can't build that building. We had all the ground all dug up and all the excavation, $100,000 of just moving dirt. It took 500 dump truck loads to excavate this property. Because you remember, this used to be a hill. It used to be about the middle of that wall is where the ground used to be here. And they had to dig that way down. We got all the dirt moved, $100,000 in moving dirt. And then, municipality, you can't build that church. You aren't going any further. Oh, no, we can't have it. We will have it. And I tell you what, you can't stop it, because God always has something better.
Yes.
Amen. I said, if it's not here, then it's going to be somewhere perfect. Listen, don't you give in to disappointment. When something that you were really hoping for, sometimes if it fell through, don't you give in and say, well, that was the best there was. No, something better is always waiting for you. You take that witness stand and you always say, God's got something better. God's got something better. Devil, I win, you always lose. When is he ever going to learn that?
Yeah.
I am always the winner.
Yeah.
I am a king on this earth. Yeah. He cannot steal anything away from me. He can't, any form of disappointment, he still loses because God always carries me over.
Yes.
He will always give me something better than the devil ever stole.
Yes.
The devil stole everything from Job, and God came back 9 months later and gave him double of everything he lost. You know? But everyone still wants to go back and talk about poor old Job. Poor old Job, yes, he went through hell on earth for 9 months. He did. 9 months out of a lifetime that lasted 200 years. They lived a little bit longer back then. And Job lived 200 years, and 9 months out of 200 years, that's less than 1% of his life was that big trial. And God doubled everything he had. Everything he had. Glory to God. You know, we remember the scripture back there in Genesis, what is it, chapter 50, verse 20? Don't quote me on that. Don't bring that verse up right now, because I'm not sure if that's exactly, it's in that neighborhood. What the devil meant for evil, God can make it good. It says, well, what was meant for evil, God can make it good. But we know that the devil always is trying to turn things, you know, for the evil in our life. God can make it good. What is that? What the devil tries to steal, God can give you something better than he ever stole in the first place. Amen. Yes, that's your evidence. Listen, every day we are producing evidence against the circumstances against us. Here is why it's going to be different. Here is why I'm going to have. Here is why it's going to be this way. Here is why. Oh, and the whole court, everything in that court has to stand still because the word of God trumps it all. Can't argue against that. Can't argue against that. All right. So we kind of went down there through the first three verses. We reviewed our five facts of faith there. And now let's go down here. Let's go down to verse 11. I want to talk about Sarah, Abraham's wife, before maybe we get into, I was kind of meditating on verse 7 as well with Noah. There's some goodies in there. But I want to go down here to verse 11. It seems to fit more what we're talking about right now. And it says this. Now remember, in verse 2, it's talking about testimony. We have the words evidence, testimony, right? Witness. Remember, Abel, God witnessed. You know, Abel had a righteous witness. We have all these words that pertain to the legal system. You know, evidence, testimony, witness. And now we see another one in verse 11 here. And it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, or you could say this way, to have a child. And she bore a child when she was past the age. Yeah. That's an understatement. She was 90, you know. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was, I'm going to add the Tim Stallman translation, way past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. Again, another kind of court term. She judged. She judged him faithful. Oh, my goodness. I mean, think about the evidence that was being presented against Sarah on a daily basis. And I know, we sometimes can get silly talking about this, and it's okay to laugh, but I mean, dear heavens, I mean, she had a constant testimony against her faith. Her body, every day, was telling her, you aren't having a child, you're too old, you don't have the strength, you don't have the physical ability, you can't get there, right? Think about that. Think about the testimony, that the circumstantial evidence that was being placed against Sarah in that court. I mean, now the Amplified Bible says that Sarah received physical strength. Hallelujah. By faith, she received physical strength. By faith, she received physical strength. Notice you can pull physical strength from the realm of God. All strength is spiritual in its cause.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You know, if there's ever a time when I start to, if you start to feel run down or you start to just feel like you're lacking physical strength, I'll tell you what, that's probably a key and a sign that you haven't been using your faith or confessing in that direction. Right. Yeah, glory to God. Go and get some scriptures pertaining to strength. Right. Hallelujah. How about, I'll tell you what, Psalm 27 and Psalm 28 have a lot of verses about that. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. What shall I be afraid? Yeah, the Lord is the strength of my life. Yeah. You know, what is that? Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 22. Talks about, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to my saying. You know, do not let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst, you know, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Yes. The word life there is the Hebrew word for strength. They are strength. The word of God is strength to my flesh. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And so, you know, we can draw physical strength from the realm of God. Amen. All strength is from his realm. Yep. Remember what it says in the book of James, that the body without the spirit is dead. What is physical death? When the spirit of a man leaves the body, the body dies. So the strength or the function of the human body is directly connected to the spirit that is within inside. Remember what it says in Proverbs 18:14? What does it say over there? It says, the strength of a man, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. The strong spirit will sustain you in an attack of sickness. See, healing is from the inside out. Sometimes we want it from the outside in. But it's from the inside out. Invest in your spirit. A stronger spirit leads to stronger physical body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so Sarah, she judged God faithful. God, you're faithful. Strength. God, you're faithful. Strength. And do you think she just said that one time? No, she kept saying, God, you're faithful. You're faithful because you promised. You are faithful because you promised. I'm going to have this child. You know, body, you don't tell me what I can and can't do. The word that God spoke to me is what I can do. Listen, your body is not the testimony. It is not the decision maker in your life. Your body is not Lord.
That's right. Good. Amen.
Come on now. So many people, like I said Sunday, they check their body. Well, can I do it or not? Well, what did God say? They check their checkbook. Money, can I do it or not? What did God say? God will lead you into many things that you can't afford, or money. It doesn't seem like money would be there to have it. Because if you could have just afforded that on your own, you didn't need him. There's very little that I've ever done for God that I funded myself. And I'll say it this way. I haven't funded anything myself. And the things that I did fund myself, they fail. Come on now. Praise the Lord. By faith, Sarah herself also received physical strength, the Amplified Bible says. Physical strength to conceive a child. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged. She stepped into that court and she levied a testimony and brought evidence against all the circumstances. Listen, you have evidence in your life right now that's trying to testify against the word of God in your life. It's your turn to take the witness stand and present your evidence.
Yes.
Present your evidence.
That's right.
What is your evidence? Chapter and verse.
Yeah, exactly.
Chapter and verse. And I say, well, I'm hoping. Well, listen, hope is good. It started there. But I tell you what, faith brings substance to your hopes.
That's right.
What chapter, what verse are you standing on? What is your evidence? If you stand up on that witness stand and you have nothing to say, then the other side wins.
Sure. Right. That's good.
You know, if you get up there, you know, if you you know, take the witness stand in your defense and you say nothing, you lose.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Isn't that exactly right? A lot of believers are taking the stand, saying nothing, and those circumstances continue to dominate. Don't you ever be run over by anything in this life. We should not be run over. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Listen, when circumstances look grim, didn't they look grim for Sarah? I mean, it looked so grim. I don't know if they had mirrors back then, but she could stand in the mirror and say, how is this going to happen? I mean, not picking on her. I'm serious. 90 years old, you don't look at a 90-year-old body and just think it's the most fertile thing in the world. I know. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pick on anyone who's 90 years old or anything. I'm just saying.
Sure.
It's not exactly the age of fertility. That's what the Bible's saying here. Amen. Her body didn't function like a young woman. Think about that. The Bible says that he will renew your strength like the eagles. Psalm 103, verse 5. She needed some strength to be renewed.
Yes, she did. That's right.
Doesn't it say in that same scripture that I just quoted, your youth shall, I'm quoting some different translations there. Your strength will be renewed. Your youth will be renewed. That God's strength can come upon you and give you strength that you had when you were younger.
Yes.
What is it over there? Joshua chapter 14, you can read it. You know, one of my favorite passages, remember Caleb, the faithful patriarch, the one spy that went into the land of Canaan, him and Joshua in the other 10. The other 10 came back with an evil report, and Caleb and Joshua, they came back with a faithful report. Remember that? Well, Caleb, he stayed faithful in Israel. He went into the land, and he was still going into battle at 85 years old. And I don't have the time to turn back there to Joshua chapter 14, but Caleb said this. He said, I am now 85 years old, King James.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's see, I'm coming up on 20. I'm 116 years or whatever, because a score is 20 years, okay? And so Caleb was 85 years old. He says, yet I have a strength of a man who is half my age. Now, back then, when they went out to battle, they didn't perch with a sniper rifle, 1,000 yards away. They had a shield and a sword. An 85-year-old man walking out there, oh, clink. You know, we're talking Russell Crowe, Gladiator, clink, 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 clink. You know, Mel Gibson, Braveheart type stuff. He said, I'm coming into battle, I'm going out. And the thing is, he wasn't getting beat. He must have been killing men that were much younger than him. He says, yeah, I'm 85, but I got the strength of a 40-year-old.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Isn't that exactly what the strength of God does?
Yes, it does.
Amen. Why? She judged him faithful. How do you judge God faithful? You give a witness. You give a testimony. And now that doesn't mean, you know, everyone is going to have a microphone and stand up in front of the church, you know. We had some testimonies a few weeks ago. It was fantastic. But that's not just what that means. We give a testimony at every minute of every day. Abel gave a testimony through his giving. He said, God is faithful. That's why I give. Yeah. Enoch said, God is faithful. That's why I pray. Noah said, God is faithful. That's why I build. Yeah. Abraham said, God is faithful. That's why I go into a strange land. Sarah said, God is faithful. That's why I receive strength to have a child when I'm past age. Moses said, God is faithful. That's why I can lead 2 million Israelites out of Egypt. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Every time you say that, physical strength moves your way. God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. You know, David didn't say the Lord get, I mean, of course, in other passages he did, the Lord gives him strength. But he said, the Lord is my strength. You know? And notice that Sarah, God became to Sarah what she judged him to be.
That's right.
She judged him faithful. That's what he was.
Yep, that's right.
There's a lot of people that they're not judging God correctly. I'll tell you what, it is going to be very difficult to receive from God if you misjudge him.
Sure.
There's a, you know, I get asked this question all the time. Well, you know, people get healed at family church, Are you saying that people don't get healed in other churches? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that wherever God is misjudged, you know, I've had people say, but nobody ever gets healed in our church. First question I ask them is, well, are they preaching on healing? If they're not sowing the word, they can't grow the word there. It's not about who, what Christian is better or what church is better than the rest. It's just whatever you sow, you can grow. Jesus said, Mark 4:14, the sower sows the word. If you plant the word in the church, you know, you preach healing, people are going to get healed. Preach salvation, people are going to get saved. Preach God's definition of prosperity, people are going to prosper. You preach it, they can have it.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. But she had it because she judged him faithful. Hallelujah. You getting something out of this?
Yes.
She judged. She. What does a judge do? A judge renders an opinion of the truth.
Yes.
Isn't that what a judge does? The judge says guilty, or the judge says innocent. Or what does a judge also say? Sustained or overruled. Right? Doesn't a judge sit there and the prosecutor is up there and they're making a case against that situation or whatever? You know, that person or, you know, whoever was accused of a crime, whatever's going on. And someone might say objection, and that judge either says sustained or overruled. I tell you, when the circumstances of this life start prosecuting you, you know, when they start presenting evidence, say, you're going to be sick, you're going to be broke, you're going to be tired, objection, overruled.
Yeah.
Whose job was it to overrule the circumstances in Sarah's life? It was her job. God didn't step in and say overruled. God just became what she judged him to be. He didn't just say, well, Sarah, your number's up today. You know, like I said Sunday, God's not sitting in the heavens with a big bingo ball. You know what I mean? That big bingo tumbler. I don't know. I've actually never gone and played bingo in my life. You know, praise the Lord. I wasn't raised Roman Catholic, so, you know. So, oh, that wasn't a, that wasn't a criticism. I'm just saying, gee whiz. I didn't mean that personally. Foot in my mouth alert. I was not ragging on the Catholics or anything like that. I've just never been to a bingo hall. I've seen those things. When and they look, your number came up. Today's your day. Nope, that's not what happened. She just kept judging God faithful. And she received physical strength.
Amen.
Glory to God. My wife is a former Roman Catholic, so I know I would never make fun of that. Praise the Lord for the Catholics. I'm not. Sometimes, you know, a preacher can stick his foot in his mouth. He can be preaching rocket fuel and then stick his foot in his mouth, and that's all the people remember. Don't you do that here tonight. Because I didn't mean that personally. He's going, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. She judged circumstances, overruled. Oh, why? Because it tells us why she overruled it. Look at the second half of the verse. She judged him faithful who had promised. She overruled with the word.
Yes.
Overruled. But Sarah, you're too old. You can't have a child. Overruled. Because God said this. Your body isn't going to change. Your body's always going to be that way. You don't have the strength. You don't have this. The world's going to tell you, you don't have the money to do this. You don't have the courage to do that. You don't have the education to do this. Overruled. Listen, I tell you, if you're not going to object, God's not going to object for you. If you're not going to say, I object, overruled. If you're not going to do that, God's not going to do that for you. Because God will let you have whatever you're okay with having. He will let you have whatever you're okay with. Sarah said, I'm not okay with this. God said there's something else. It looks like there was nothing else for me, but in the unseen realm of God, there was another reality. And so she went reaching for that unseen reality. She just kept reaching with her words. God promised. God is faithful. God promised. God is faithful. She just kept reaching into the realm of the unseen. And finally, one day, you know, she took a pregnancy test, and there it was. She ran down to the Rite Aid. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, you married folks with kids, you remember those days, right? Oh, how exciting. Glory to God. And just think how, you know, all of a sudden, one day, there it was. It manifested. Where'd that child come from? Came from the unseen realm. Came from the unseen realm. Amen. She just kept saying, God's faithful. He said, overruled. When the circumstances come against you, say, you know, you're not going to have enough. You're not going to have your needs met. Overruled. You know, my God shall supply all my needs. Well, I don't know where the money's coming from. Overruled. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. You're not going to get your healing. Overruled. Come on now. Yeah. Remember when we looked at that word? Remember we taught on Sunday school this past Sunday. If you weren't there, you know, we talked about over there in John chapter 10, you know, in verse 34 and 35, Jesus calls us gods. Ooh, you hear that holy hush? What? Why don't we go over there? You want to have a little theological fun in the word here? Hold your place there, Hebrews 11. Go to John chapter 10. If you weren't in Sunday school this past Sunday, then you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to read a scripture that really is pretty wild. And, of course, what we were teaching on in Sunday school is how to properly interpret the Bible and not just take a sensational verse and run with it and make it say something that it doesn't. But I just think this kind of fits here, even though at first it doesn't seem like it does. Verse 34, and of course Jesus was being criticized by the Pharisees because he called himself the Son of God, and they want to stone him for blasphemy. And this is how Jesus responds to them. And Jesus answered them, Jesus speaking, is it not written in your law? God said, this is quoting God, and this is God speaking to the Israelites. This is what God said to the Hebrews of the Old Testament, the Israelites, Moses and so on. Well, you know, not Moses himself, but later on. He says, God said, you are gods. Jesus said, isn't that written in the Bible that God said, you are gods? Who's he talking about in verse 35? Jesus says, if God the Father called them gods to whom the word of God came, talking about the Israelites, okay, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? He said, listen, you Pharisees, you're Israelites, and God said to you, you're gods. And of course, there are groups that have taken that scripture and made it say things that it shouldn't say. We use the example of the Mormons, you know, that they have taken that verse and their doctrine believes that God was once a man who then ascended to being a God. And they use this scripture to try to prove that. Well, one of our laws of Bible interpretation is that you must look up the original language, okay? You understand that the Bible was not originally written in English. It was written, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the word gods here is the Greek word for judge or magistrate. That's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus said, have you not seen where it's written in the Bible? You are judges and magistrates and rulers. That's what it's talking about here. See, you are sitting on the judge's bench in your life, in this world. And there's going to be circumstances that are going to stand up and are going to try to object against you having God's highest and best. And you are the one that is responsible of saying, overruled.
That's right. Yes.
And that's why I'm saying that God required Sarah to do that.
Right.
God was not going to randomly just pick her and bless her with that child. She judged him faithful. See, we don't ever think that God is just going to randomly select you. Don't ever think that you don't have a part to play. Yeah, we have to respond to God, and God responds to us. Your reaction will determine his action.
Yes.
Your reaction will determine what God will do. Yes. And when this earth says you don't have enough, you're not going to make it. How are you going to make ends meet? Overruled. I judge him faithful.
That's right.
You can receive physical strength. Do you think you could receive financial help that way?
Yes.
Think God could move blessing into your life by determining or judging him faithful?
Yes.
Absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're getting something out of this here tonight. Oh, glory to God. Every day, every moment of your life, God is on trial in your opinion. And that's why a lot of believers, they don't think, well, you know, he's Savior, but I don't know him as healer. See, they misjudged him. They misjudged him. Well, God doesn't heal today. Misjudged him. God doesn't prosper people. Misjudged. That's wrong. God does heal. God does prosper people. No, I can't believe that. What do you mean you can't believe that? How about Psalm 1:3? Talking about you, if you meditate, verse 2 says that your joy, your delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. In his word you meditate day and night. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf shall not wither, and everything you do shall prosper. Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor his righteous cause. Right? Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Amen. And obviously that's just two verses. We could keep on going, right? Man, oh man, we could go to Deuteronomy 8:18. He gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you as he did with your spiritual ancestors. Yep. With the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has given you the power to prosper.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But you're the judge.
That's right.
You're the judge.
Yes.
Listen, you know, of course, I'm not talking about the judge of the universe and, you know, you aren't going to decide who goes to heaven and hell. And, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about in your life, God will respond to what you judge him to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
There's a lot of Christians out there, they don't judge him as healer. Then he can't be that in his life, whatever you judge him to be. Amen. Did you get some help out of this tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, I want to go back, just the teacher in me wants to go back to Hebrews, you know, chapter 11, but I just get a sense that it would be good to leave it right there. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we're going to close up our Bibles, and we're just going to take a moment to wait upon God, and we're just going to pray.